Hi. 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 Hello.
It's ridiculous.
Hello, I'm Danielle Tame, and you are listening to Actors Group Conversations on Craft. Enjoy.
When I sat down with my agents, Tom Milam and Jennifer Hummel, I was so excited. I had them all to myself, and I was going to be able to demystify this actor-agent relationship. Tom is co-head of the film TV department, and Jennifer is a film TV agent at PeopleStore Agency in Atlanta. Tom has been with PeopleStore for a little over 5 years after working as an agent in New York. Jennifer joined PeopleStore in 2016 after studying performing arts at SCAD. Both are passionate about their role as agents. Tom says that after being a cheerleader in high school, his career is now as a professional cheerleader for actors. So enjoy part one of my conversation with film TV agents Tom and Jennifer of PeopleStore. So I am here today with Tom Milam, who is co-head of film and TV at PeopleStore, and Jennifer Hummel, who is a film and TV agent here at PeopleStore. So I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your day to kind of talk to me about this.
Of course.
And answer some questions that I'm sure I'm not the only person to have. And I was excited because I know, you know, as far as actors are concerned, a lot of times when we get together, agents are kind of top of the list of our topics of conversations.
Oh, of course.
And so, you know, I think there's this kind of, I wouldn't say mystery, but there is. There's that kind of like, once we've signed with an agency, sometimes we don't always know exactly what is then happening on that other side, you know?
So sure.
Sort of demystifying and kind of, you know, answering some questions, I thought would be good.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. Yeah.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
We're happy to do this. Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm excited about it. So I guess the first thing that I would like to, hear from you is what kind of are the steps that actors need to take to sign with an agency? What would be some of the things that they would need to do?
So I would say the first step is to get your materials in order. So as an actor, it's very important to have really professional headshots, have your resume be up to date, and if you have some credits on that resume that has given you some film and television footage, you'll want to put that into a reel or have those clips and have all of those on your casting website. So for film and TV, you want to make sure your Actors Access looks good, make sure your IMDb is up to date, just to give agents something to look at when they're looking at your materials. Mm-hmm. And then I would say the second thing is just to make sure that you're following all of the agency's directions when you're actually applying to the agency.
Right.
I know that sounds weird to
idea.
Say. Yeah. But every agency has different requirements, so some mm-hmm. people like you to actually mail something in. Some like you to apply online. Some only you can do through a referral, like PeopleStore is right now. Only if someone that we know and that you know emails us on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the important thing with applying, I would say.
And training. You don't wake up one morning and go, I want to be an actor. If you do, God love you. But what you want to do is make sure that you have that training under your belt, because every agent looks at your training.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't the determining factor. But if someone sees a coach that they know or a teacher that they know, or you've been directed by someone, like those all help. But for me, training is the base.
Right. And so you were saying, Jennifer, that for PeopleStore, it's just referrals. Is that mostly just here at PeopleStore? Is it because you have enough people on your roster? Or is it because you would rather have people who are being referred rather than just any old Tom, Dick, and Harry?
I think for us, it is that. It's we want that extra layer of like an extra straining technique mm-hmm. or filtering technique would be the better term. We want people who are reputable.
Right.
We're not, it sounds cocky to say, but we're not your first stop agency.
Mm-hmm.
We work on all level of roles and we have all level of talent, but we want the best.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone comes in with, you know, a referral from a teacher, but they have no credits and they blow us away in the room, then we're going to obviously snatch them up.
Mm-hmm.
But that referral just helps because it lends credence, because
right.
we get so many unsolicited submissions that it's our way of filtering through. I think it's we and I think two other offices in Atlanta are referral only. Mm-hmm. No drop-offs then. No one ever likes drop-offs. No. But referrals always help.
Right. Yeah.
And so when you say drop-offs, do you mean literally they're walking in off the street?
Oh, yes.
And come in and just drop off?
At least three times a month, we have a sign on the door that says no drop-offs or no walk-ins. But literally about three times a month, one of us has to go up to the door and be like, I'm sorry, like, we don't accept these. Please either mail it or email, like, follow the directions.
Right.
Because the reason following the directions is so important is because you have to follow directions from auditions.
Exactly.
And if you're not going to follow the rules to get in.
It's not inspiring. I'll say that.
Yeah, it's not inspiring. I'm like, so you're not listening to anything we say, but you expect me to submit you
and you'll do
everything.
Right. So let's say that, you know, we've done everything correctly and we're with you and you've signed us and you've said, yay. What does a day look like for you? What do you, because, you know, a lot of actors were sitting there going, you know, I haven't heard from you in like 2 weeks, or I haven't heard from you in a month, or whatever it is. And I know you're doing things, obviously. I really do. But it's like when I'm picturing Tom and Jennifer, you know, what does your day look like essentially? It's like, what is your...
The role of the agent is to give you the actor as many opportunities as possible. So our day is spent getting those opportunities. Mm-hmm. And Jennifer and I's days vary because she does some things I do not do and I do a few things that she doesn't do. But for me and myself, mine is making sure all my correspondence is up to date and then working on breakdowns, which is the casting brief that mm-hmm. casting directors send out for. So they give a breakdown of the role. Mm-hmm. So when you're working on, I'm going to use Dynasty as an example because I just worked on a Dynasty, and there could be, you know, 10 roles on it, and each role is different and it will give me the description of that role. So then I go through and find my actors that fit that role. Mm-hmm. And then I submit them to casting, and casting then comes back and says, these are the people we want to see. Then those people get the appointments. And then also negotiations, availability checks, pins for the people who are in contention for the roles, mm-hmm. putting out fires. That's my day.
Yeah.
Jennifer's day is a little different, but yeah.
So Tom, because he's the co-head of film and TV, doesn't coordinate the auditions because he's better than me. Because I don't let him. So coordinating auditions takes up a lot of your time
right.
as an agent or an assistant, whoever's coordinating them, just because you're dealing with a lot of volume.
Right.
You're dealing with all the actors' questions that are coming in, like, what accent should I use for this role? Or, you know, are these dates that I have an unavailable of the shoot window? Are these too many conflicts? Should I pass? So mm-hmm. it's really just dealing with a lot of communication between us and the actor. That's primarily what we do, honestly, mm-hmm. for a living, is just communicating back mm-hmm. and forth between our actors and between casting. That's essentially what we are, is we're the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're just filtering casting for the actors and actors for casting back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the actor's advocate. So
yeah.
When I do a submission, if they don't pick up on an actor that I want them to see for a role, I either pick up the phone or I email casting and I go, hey, you need to see client X for this role because mm-hmm. they're perfect for it. And, you know, the push, I call it pushing because I come from New York. Other people call it pitching. So you push and you get your clients the best opportunities. And then when those opportunities land, our job as an actor is to, as an agent, is to make sure our actors have the best deal
mm-hmm.
and to make sure they're treated appropriately and that they get what they're worth mm-hmm. and that they're treated like what they're worth. And then also random stuff like tipping off production that, oh, this person has an extremely limited diet. So I'm going to email you a list of all of the things that they cannot eat. So you let Crafty know and you let production know. Or if someone has a bad allergy to wool, you let costuming know. Yeah. Those are things that we do.
Yeah.
We take care of our actors.
I hadn't thought about all those nitty gritty.
You just never know what's going to come up. And sometimes there's just something weird that happens on set. And it's so rare that it happens. But occasionally Tom or I will get a call and suddenly we need to leap into action and make sure that they're treating the actor appropriately.
So typically when if an actor is on set and something does come up, you should be the ones to be contacted.
Yep. Okay. We should be the first call. Okay. I think SAG also does have an emergency hotline. So God forbid it's after hours and you can't get a hold of your agent. That would be a good call as well. But it's really important that the actor let us know and also steps away from the situation to call us. Right. Sometimes actors, I think, feel like they can't pause what's happening on set in order to call their agent. But that's really important, especially if you're dealing with something potentially dangerous or something that you're not comfortable with.
Right. Oh, I call it agenting up. You know how people are like, oh, lawyer up when things bad things happen? An actor should always agent up. Mm-hmm. Like, you call your agent handles everything for you.
Because the worst thing that can happen is you do something that you're not comfortable with and then you regret it later because once it's already happened, there's not a lot that we can do.
Yeah, you can't,
There's no taking it back. I mean, there's no,
No.
And that kind of, you know, it sort of leads us into my next question, which is what are some of the mistakes, common mistakes that actors make that then either they don't get signed or they get dropped?
Yeah. Well, following directions is key. Communication is the biggest linchpin in your relationship with a client and with an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's relationship is different with their agent, and we let the clients set how they would like to be treated. There are some that you are really close to the agents, and there are some that are like, don't bug me unless I got an appointment, which is fine. However you want to run is however you want to run. But communication is the key. When I start caring more about your career than you do, it's time for me to let you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you're not getting back to me, if you're not turning in your audition tapes, if you're not going to in-persons, and you're not giving me, you're just ghosting and I don't know what's going on, I'm not going to want to put you out because you're not reliable to me.
Right. And piggybacking off of that, you know, it's very important to us that if we provide feedback to a client, you know, if we tell you, hey, this is how we think you should change your self-tape setup, or we'd like you to get new headshots or whatever it is, it's important to us that you follow our directions and, you know, make sure that you're doing everything that you can be doing as an actor to make you more marketable. Because if we do give our actors feedback, that is in order to make them more marketable. So it's important for us to see that back and forth. Like Tom was just saying, if I tell someone to get headshots and they don't for 2 more years, I feel like they don't care about their career as much as I do.
Right. Or they don't value your expertise
And I mean, we always understand like headshots can be expensive sometimes, but get back to us and say, hey, you know, I can't get headshots right now. But they're on my docket to do. I just gotta, you know, pay down student loans or I gotta pay my car off or whatever. We understand. We're people. We get it.
Yeah.
But we need to hear an actionable plan from you. If you can't get headshots now, but you tell me you can get them in 6 months, great. Yeah. That's totally fine. But again, as long as you're communicating, that's always the biggest thing.
Yeah. And then, are you pleasant to work with is part of it. And it's taken into consideration. I should be able to rely on you, but you should still treat each other with respect and kindness. You don't have to like someone to be nice to them.
Right.
And I think that's something that actors, I don't think, always understand is that if you're a little difficult, someone's not really going to be all that jazzed to work for them. That sounds a little harsh, but it's true though, because, you know, if I see someone's name come up for an offer or for an avail check or even for an appointment, and I'm just like, oh, great, I'm going to have to deal with this, 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 and this. even before I pick up the phone call, because their last three interactions with me have been a little tedious. Mm-hmm. It's going to not jazz me as much as it is for the person who is game, who's like always on the ball, is excited, nice, about is excited, has manners, you know. Mm-hmm. It's technically, we work for our clients.
Right.
You hire us, but it's a team.
Right.
And it's like a marriage in a lot of ways. There's a lot of give and take. There's a lot of working together to achieve a goal.
And I think that's something that I hear again and again. And I can't remember where I heard it, but somebody said, you know, I'm always easy to work with and happy to be there. And that's their mantra. And I have taken that up because it's like, of course.
Yeah.
And if you're happy to be there and you're easy to work with, then you're more likely to be able to come back on different
projects. Oh, of course. That's why there's a great story that during the Steel Magnolias press tour, they did the Oprah show.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie Roberts, she's talking about they're filming in the bayous of Louisiana. Everybody's complaining about like the mosquitoes or the heat or the damp. And Dolly Parton has a smile on her face, mm-hmm, from day one to end of day. And she's always happy. She doesn't complain. And that's why she's Dolly Parton. That's right. Why the entire country yeah. loves her. Yeah. Like, she's everyone's sassy aunt. Mm-hmm. And that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm. So, good stuff. So, another question that I had was, and it's kind of a flip side, but what can actors do? Because a lot of times I think there are some actors who will, once they get signed, will sit back and just wait. But what can we do to help you? And I think it'll probably, you know, you've probably already touched on a couple of different things, but
I think the biggest thing is just making sure that your brain is always in this mode,
right,
of working and, you know, being artistic and keeping the creative juices flowing, so that when you're waiting for that audition, you haven't gone a month until you've acted.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And also, while I agree with Jennifer, I'm also going to say, make sure you have a fulfilling life outside, mm-hmm, of acting.
Oh, yes.
So while you're waiting for those appointments to come in, you're having life experience that's going to help you with that role. You know, go to the park, go to the museums, go have lunch or dinner with friends. Don't let your survival job get you down, because everybody's got a survival job. Mm-hmm. And then just try to get a good community around you, to where if you haven't had an audition in a while, you and your friends can do a play reading or work scenes together, or stay in that class. You know, Doris Roberts was in her 90s still going to acting class.
Wow.
While she was on Everybody Loves Raymond, she was in a scene study class on Sundays.
Yeah.
She had like 800 Emmys, but she still went to class. That's probably why.
Yeah.
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 Maybe.
Yeah.
No, being fulfilled is really important. And also, hear actors say things like, oh, I'm taking Japanese because I want that to be a skill I can check off on my resume. And that always kind of breaks my heart to hear, you know, if you're, mm-hmm, taking Japanese, take it because you love Japanese. Right, don't take it because you think it'll make you more marketable as an actor.
Right.
Of course, that's important. But first and foremost, you should just be happy as a person.
Yeah. A lot of our clients volunteer. And I've heard some stories about things that they do. And it's just staggering.
So switching gears, although I like that you said volunteering and doing, having a life outside, because I do think that, first of all, it is fulfilling on a personal level, but I do think that makes you a better actor.
Oh, it does.
And because you have all these different experiences then to draw from.
And oh, it totally does.
You know, it should. Yeah.
And I think that's, I really do. I think that's really important.
Yeah.
So now I'm going to shift gears. So one of the things that, you know, some of the people that I've been in class with, they have gone from being here in Atlanta having an agent, and they've moved out to LA and they've gotten a manager. Now, is that just a LA thing, or are there managers here too in Atlanta? And what's the advantage of having, or disadvantage of having a manager? I know that's a lot of different questions, but I'm just going to say manager, go.
Okay. I'm going to try and be as politic as possible. Okay, so there are two thoughts on managers. One is you should have something to manage first. Right. And in other markets, well, in this market as well, we do have amazing managers mm-hmm. in the Southeast. And we have our office especially works with great ones here in the Southeast and ridiculously amazing managers on both coasts. We are very lucky that we have that. And when I was in New York, I worked with some great ones. I also worked with some not so great ones. The big key for managers is there are two philosophies. One is I'm going to get a manager to help me get an agent. That is, especially if you're new to a market, a lot of people will do that. They'll get a manager and that manager's big push is to get them an agent.
Okay.
And that is one way of doing it.
Okay.
The other way.
Yeah, because I always thought it was the other
way. I know. A lot of people think it's the other way around. But mm-hmm. in New York and LA, people will sign with managers first to get them an agent. The good thing about having a manager is it's another person on your team. And it's another person to help you with opportunities. Mm-hmm. Technically, managers are not allowed to submit you. But they do. In doing so, they help procure other opportunities. Managers are supposed to be more hands-on mm-hmm. and help you manage your career and your career goals and where you want to go in the industry, while an agent is more big picture.
So when Tom says hands-on, for example, if you have a manager and an agent, and you get an audition from your agent, and you're wondering, how should I wear my hair, or what outfit should I wear, or what's the best way to approach this audition, that call should be to your manager. Mm-hmm. Or after you do the audition, if you have three takes, you want to narrow it down to one or two, you send that to your manager. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you have a bigger picture question or something more specifically about the project, that would be to your agent. So passing on the audition would be to your agent. Again, going back to the accent mm-hmm. question, that's probably to your agent. Mm-hmm. Whereas manager is more of the minutia of what day-to-day strategy am I using in my career.
And then managers are also very helpful in getting you those, you know, golden circle in the sky generals with casting directors or with like producers or studios. A lot of managers do that, and that's really helpful. And we work in conjunction, and it's just so great to have one. And what some will do, especially from this market, is if they have a manager in New York or LA, those managers pretty much quarterback or run the New York or LA areas, mm-hmm. while we still, our main focus is still on the Southeast, but we work in tandem. Mm-hmm. And if I get someone an appointment, I'm going to go back to Dynasty for Dynasty, but they're seeing that role in New York or LA. And the manager then goes, oh, we're going to take this tape that you're submitting for Atlanta and we're going to send it to casting in New York or LA as well. So that way more eyes are on it and it's more of a squeeze play. Mm-hmm. Managers are supposed to make the client's life easier and the agent's life easier. Mm-hmm. Their job is to just keep communication between all groups, handle the minutiae, like headshots,
right.
You know, okay. all publicist, making sure you're all set for your, you know, premiere or
right. Your opening. So when your career gets a little bit bigger as an actor to the point where you're a series regular doing, you know, larger supporting roles in feature films, your manager is going to be the one who's really helping you out a lot with handling your appearances and doing all of those little things. Mm-hmm. Whereas an agent can do that for you if you don't have that person in place. But it does make things a little bit easier on all ends at that point in your career mm-hmm. if you have a manager. Before that point, it's really more of a discussion on whether you think that you need that or not. Right. And that's a very individual thing.
And that
some actors do and some actors don't.
Yeah.
Because that was going to be my question is that, you know, at what point should an actor be thinking?
Right. Well, and another factor with a manager is, you know, you have to pay an additional commission on top of the commissions you're paying to your agent. So especially when you're thinking about that, you have to think about how much overlap there's going to be between what your manager does and your agent does mm-hmm. and make sure that, you know, you feel that that's an appropriate amount of commission to put away. If you're booking more jobs but paying more commission, that makes sense. Right. If you're not going to be booking more jobs, maybe that's not the right time in your career to have a manager.
Right. And you said the managers do get breakdowns as well?
Some do.
In other markets, yes. Here, mm-hmm. not as much.
Okay. Because I'm trying to figure out if they are not supposed to submit, why do they get?
Oh, well, I don't understand the logistics
okay,
of it,
okay.
but they do. Because I worked in casting for The Onion, and I would see managers I know submit things, and they'd be like, oh, okay. I also don't understand how actors get breakdowns, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, I get the ones that just...
Yeah, you get the normal actors access ones. Mm-hmm. There are actors out there with full breakdown privileges, and I don't understand how they get them.
They're not technically supposed to.
They're not supposed to have
them. Wow.
I've heard
some rumors.
Yeah, I think there's like some dude standing outside of Pennsylvania, Penn Station going, hey, you want the breakdowns password? And all the little actors moving into the city get them.
Wow.
Here, I guess it would be at like Hartsfield, I guess.
Yeah, who
they're
knows?
Just staying out front of the airport. Got breakdowns. Yeah. I don't know how managers, but they do. And then they help with negotiations. They're, the agent does the heavy lifting in the negotiation,
mm-hmm.
but the manager uses their connections to help the negotiation go smoother.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's definitely something you want to look at when you're looking at managers as well, is half the point of getting a manager is having someone with those connections where they know which producer to call, they know which studio to call, and they actually will pick up the phone and do that for you.
Yeah.
And I guess if they are getting the breakdowns, then the actor has two people potentially pitching them or pushing them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Working in tandem. Because a lot of times, if I see something on one of the other coasts for one of our clients that has managers or other rep in other areas, I will shoot an email or pick up the phone, give a quick phone call, or depending on who it is, send them a text and be like, hey, I'm putting them in client or role C.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do a push with this casting director to get them seen? It's perfect for them. I don't know how successful I'll be because I don't have the greatest relationship mm-hmm. with this casting director. And that's where the manager swoops in and goes, yes, I can do this.
Yeah.
We'll help out. And then they'll call me and do the same thing. Be like, Tom or Jennifer, y'all got a great relationship with this casting director. Can you get this person seen for this? And we're like, of course, because it's a team.
Right.
We're there to help the actor get as many opportunities as possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's it for today's edition of Actors Group Conversations on Craft. This is your host, Danielle Tame, and I really hope that you enjoyed today's conversation. Feel free to rate the podcast on iTunes. You can leave a review, or you can leave me a comment or a question on the Actors Group Conversations on Craft Facebook page. Until next time.